Going to be in Matthew chapter 13 this morning. So if you'd turn there to start, Pastor has been going through this for a few weeks. We'll stay there a little bit longer, and I'm sure we'll be back there next week with Pastor as well. We're going to start reading in verse 1 of chapter 13. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together under him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But the other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some sixtyfold, some thirtyfold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now let's go over to verse 18, and Jesus explains this parable to the disciples. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some a hundred and hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. Now this morning I want to, let's just stop and we'll pray actually. Heavenly Father, thankful, Lord, that we can be here this morning and meet, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the liberty we have, Lord, to meet and to sing, Lord, without restrictions as much of our country is in. And, Lord, we thank you for that privilege. I ask, dear Lord, that you'd help us not to take that for granted. Lord, we thank you for your word and, Lord, that we have the written word of God that we can handle, that we can see with our eyes, that we can read with our lips, Lord, hear with our ears and handle with our own hands. Lord, let us not take that as a granted privilege. Lord, I just ask that this time might be a blessing now as we look into your word. Ask for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning I want to talk to you about the progression of the heart. About 3 weeks ago, I think it was, Pastor was talking about the wayside soil and how it had been unintentionally stepped on by some people that had stepped off the way, off the path, unintentionally causing the hardening of someone's heart. And that got me thinking about this person, this wayside soil. Was he always wayside soil? Maybe not. And it provoked my thought. Obviously, there was a hardening of his heart to the point where there was hindrance to the Word of God. A hardening that may have been caused by a young Christian not doing something they should have or saying something they shouldn't have. But was there a time when this person's heart was not wayside soil, but even good ground. And ground that was good soil that would have brought fruit if the seed had been sown earlier. Is there a chance that the wayside soil was once good ground and just needed the husbandman to sow the seed, to pull the weeds? Didn't need the husbandman to pull the weeds or plow the and break the hardness of the ground or the stone thereof, that the soil may have been fruitful. Now, I think we all understand the progression from wayside soil to good soil. The Lord working in our hearts, working in people's lives. Wayside soil to stony soil, weed-choked, unfruitful soil, to good soil. Now, that always comes in a different package, how the Lord does that. Sometimes it's the death of a parent, of a sibling, of a child, using that to soften the person's heart, to bring about a condition where the heart can receive the Word of God. Possibly sickness. Now, in somebody's life, directly for that person to be converted, but not always is the case that a death or a sickness is for that reason. Sometimes it's those people, the person that is sick is already saved, but the sickness is so that another person's heart would be softened. Now, we can understand that the turning of a heart from wayside ground or shallow ground by the use of the plow, we see Paul turning quickly from someone that fought against God to be someone that gave his life for God. We see Zacchaeus turning from a life that was selfish, self-centered, seeking to please himself, to thinking of others because of God working in them, using the goad to prick their hearts. And we know that the Lord works in mysterious ways. To humble people. You know, we take Naaman, for example. Naaman, the Lord gave him leprosy and in a Jordan River so that he would become at a point that he was humble enough to receive God and to have faith in God. We see the prophet Jonah needed a whale, and he needed a gourd and the sun and a vehement east wind to humble himself, humble the prophet Jonah. And so we see the Lord working in all sorts of different ways. We met a man down at a church outside of Sydney, and he needed to have a motorbike accident before he came to trust the Lord as his Saviour. You know, sometimes it's drastic, but the Lord has, since the world begun, used prophets to proclaim the Word of God to turn the sod over. The preaching of the Word. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the Word of God. And so, not only does he use physical ailments, but he uses the Word of God, and he uses preachers. And some of us, we would find that it took many years before we come to know Christ as our Saviour. It took years of the Word before any change happened. It took years of the Lord pulling weeds and taking the cares of the world out of our hearts, tilling the soil, convicting us of sin so that the Word might be fruitful in us. Now, I hope we all understand that, don't we, that process of change from wayside soil to good soil, to good ground. God moving us, lowering us, making us more humble so that the ground would be fruitful ground, and drawing us, each of us, to himself. Now, what that ploughing looked like in your life and in your heart, was different to other people. For those that have soft hearts and receptive hearts, it might just take the spoken word to stir the soil, to turn the soil of your heart, to make it productive. Some people, we don't do altar calls here at Grace, but some churches, even in this church, it's the same people that are repentant all the time, because their heart is stirred so easily. It's just done with a cotton tip. You can plow 40 acres with a cotton tip, but just by the spoken word. But if our hearts are like stone, the Lord has to choose to use a bigger implement. He has to get the dozer out, pulling a plow behind it. He has to use something much larger, like an accident, like a disability. Now, some of you know Noel over at Yungaburra, and I can tell you of how some of what the Lord did in his heart, some of the ploughing. About 15 years ago, his sister died unexpectedly. And then about 3 years ago, Pastor and I had been visiting him for some time. Brother Floyd had been speaking to him. But every time Pastor and I went, he wouldn't be... he'd just turn off, and he didn't want to speak about Scripture at all. But the Lord was working, and the Lord gave him a heart attack, and he spent some time in hospital. He's on blood thinners. His nose started bleeding. He spent some time back in hospital, came home, had another nosebleed, spent another week in hospital. And then the next time Pastor and I went around, Noel's heart was softer to the point where he would at least allow us to open the Word of God and share Scripture with him. Now, Noel is not saved yet, but the Lord is still working there. Even though we don't see the Lord working there, the Lord is always working, Everybody's heart. We're never stationary. The Lord is always trying to, even Christians, mold us more like Christ. And he's always ploughing the heart. Now, we don't always see the Lord working, but those drastic events, like an car accident or a motorbike accident, you know, we need to understand that becoming a paraplegic or having a stroke where you can't use your body, those things may seem drastic, but God does this out of love. We need to keep that in mind, that these things happen. And I say accidents, but I don't believe they're accidents, okay? It's the Lord trying to get our attention, people's attention, but God does this out of love. Better to be a cripple in this life and know the Lord than end up in eternity in a hell. Better that we be a cripple in this life than the Lord, and know the Lord than to enter hell. Now, I want to suggest to you something. Now, I already mentioned it, that we didn't start off as wayside soil, but that we started off as good ground. At some point in your life, I believe you were good ground, if you're not already good ground again. Now, you're going to tell me that's ludicrous because the heart is deceitfully wicked, and who can know it? And you're going to tell me foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. So how then can the heart of a child be good ground? Well, that's my suggestion to you, that it is good ground, and it's just... this age, okay, let's just take a newborn baby, for example. I believe that is good ground, that at that age can't understand the gospel, but the ground is prepared for the seed. Now, I don't want to lose you here. The child is still a sinner, okay? Yes, the child is a sinner. Born into sin, born flesh, because we're born of Adam. But that the ground is good, fertile soil. Okay, we notice in our parable that there's four types of soil: wayside, stony, thorny soil and good soil. Those soils are all present before the Word of God, before the seed takes root. And so my suggestion is that we're all born good ground. Okay? Born with the capacity to be fruitful unto the Lord, awaiting the seed that it be sown and take root. Okay? Revelation 4:11 says that we were created for His pleasure. Now, there's two things that shift the soil from good ground in our lives as children to unfruitful ground. And those, the first being the fact that we are sinners, that we're born of Adam, that we're born into sin. Okay? A child left to his own devices will end up as unfruitful ground. That's the sin nature. Okay, simply because of their sin nature. They're going to end up from good soil to wayside soil if left to their own devices. Now, the second, which is not a cause for the shift, but more of a, but something that accelerates the shift from good soil to wayside soil or slows that down, is the environment in which the child is raised. So if the child lives in a home that has godly parents, the flesh is restrained, and that movement from good ground is slowed down so that when the child is of an age of understanding, hopefully that soil is still good ground. Now, that will depend on a lot of things, but in our godly home, the flesh will be restrained. But if we were to look at the family of a non-Christian home that just lived an average life in the world, that process from good soil is sped up by the adding of cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches. Luke 17, 1 and 2 says, Jesus said, "It is impossible but that offences will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones." That word woe, that's the idea of destruction or judgment. Destruction or judgment for the one that offends a little child, that would turn that good soil, that would add an offense to that child and turn that child from good soil, good fruitful ground, to something that was unfruitful, to a hard heart. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. God places great importance on protecting the heart of that child. Now, I want to give you a hypothetical, okay, and this is not what we want to do, all right? How quickly could we turn that good soil into bad soil if we helped it along? You know, pretty quickly. We just need to tell that child that he deserves this, that they're entitled. Don't tell them no ever. Take the Bible out of our home. Give them a TV. Give them everything else. Let the world into your home. And pretty soon you've got a child that loves themselves, loves the world, and wants everything they see. It happens so quickly. Now, things would get bad so quick. Now, we don't want to be that. We don't want to allow our children to be in that environment. Woe unto him through whom these offences come. Everybody's done some gardening. I think everybody in their life has planted something of anyone of age that's able, I guess. But we know that weeds just show up in our gardens. And you wonder, where'd they come from? Did they come from the neighbor's place? Did the birds, the fowls of the air, bring them and plant them? And that soil, if left to itself, will generally compact. It gets harder. If you want to plant your vegetables and you want nice straight carrots, you've got to dig the soil. It needs to be soft. But soil left to itself compacts and gets hard. And so that's just the general nature of a child because of their sinful nature. We have to intervene. We have to dig the soil. We have to weed it. And we have to try to keep it as good a ground as possible so that when the seed is sown, the child can understand and receive it and be fruitful. Now, this idea, I don't think it's that strange to have the idea that we're born good ground, because Jesus said to his disciples, actually let's turn to Matthew 18. Matthew 18. And we're going to start in verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child unto him, and he set him in the midst of them. And he said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children." That's the starting point that Christ wants us at, little children. And so we have been given blessings from the Lord that are where the Lord wants us to start and try to keep them in that. Except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believeth in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he should be drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offences, for it must needs be that offences come, but woe to that man that by whom the offence cometh. So we see, when we're going from wayside soil to good soil, it's the Lord humbling us. It's the Lord working in the point in our lives so that we would be humbled. But Christ says we need to be as little children. Whosoever shall humble himself as this little child. He said in verse 3, except ye be converted and become as little children. Mark 10:13-16 says, and they brought, that's the disciples, young children unto him, Jesus, that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that, that's not the disciples at the start. They, that's the parents, the mothers, brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. And when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. And we see that same passage in Luke chapter 18, verses 15 and 17. He said, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. Now we know for sure that this isn't speaking of the age of a little child. We know that for sure, because that unless you're born, you can't enter the kingdom of God as unless you're young. That's not what it's talking about, but it's speaking about the condition of a heart. Paul, Zacchaeus, Nicodemus, the thief on the cross, they weren't little children when they got converted. So we know for sure that it's not talking about the age you receive it, but the condition of your heart. The condition of your heart. small child, like Paddy, for example. Okay? Now, a little child like Paddy doesn't go and sit on Aiden's knee or Les's knee because he's thinking about an inheritance and he wants to make sure, you know, I'm going to make things just good and creamy so that I can get my inheritance. Little children don't even, that doesn't even come into a little child's mind. They're not thinking about money unless, of course, that at some age that's been put on them, okay? Okay? Now, I think even in Christian homes, this is unintentionally done, okay? Unintentionally. That a child will pick up from their parents a worry or a care that maybe the parent is concerned about. Maybe they're worried about riches. Maybe they're more worried about the things of this world, whatever they may be, rather than teaching the Bible to their children. A child, a young child doesn't have the cares of the world. Okay, little Nathaniel and Paddy and Finnegan, they don't care what they're wearing. They don't care if it's the latest style. They don't worry if it's the right brand or how they look. They don't worry if their shoes are Nike or Blundstone. They don't really want shoes at all, to be honest, most of the time, but you know, they don't care about those things. That's a little child. It's so precious and so just their heart, although, yes, they're sinners, their heart is at the age where they don't care about those things. They don't care if their parents drive an old bomb car or a convertible. They don't care if they live in a fancy house or they rent a house or they live in a housing commission. You know, little children, that's doesn't even enter into their mind. Now, obviously, a child, a young child, is not of the age where they're going to understand the gospel. They're not ready for that, okay? But what I'm saying is that we're entrusted. God has entrusted us with children. They're blessings from the Lord. He's entrusted some of us with our own children. Some of us are entrusted with other people's children. Okay? Youth group leaders, Sunday school teachers are entrusted with other people's children. And God doesn't take this lightly. He doesn't want any offense in that child's heart. We have a duty before God to protect the heart of that child, to use the word of God to keep it soft, to do some work in that child's heart. And I think, you know, a child in the world, given the right and wrong environment, I should say, I think a child of 4 years old can be a stony heart, a hard heart, unfruitful, if no care is taken. Possibly even in a Christian home, if the parents don't spend time with their kids doing devotions, digging into the Word of God. I think the kids that come to youth group, you know, we really need to be praying for these kids because, you know, most of them are probably hard hearts. You know, the devil snatches that seed away on the bus ride home. They're already hard hearts because, you know, most of their parents just live in the world. Although they might profess Christ, they don't live like a Christian. And so that's something we need to be doing. We need to be living separated lives just so that we're examples under our children, not hypocritical. Examining our lives to see if anything that we might be doing might be offensive to children or to others. We don't want to be a stumbling block. before other Christians. And so we need to be with our children, digging into the Word of God, praying for other children, for siblings, praying for ourselves, asking the children to pray for the parents so that the parents are raising them right. Speaking to our children, asking them if that we've offended them, if there's something being done, you know, and make that right. Ask forgiveness. Speaking to our children about our failings and pray with them about those things. Show them a biblical way that, you know, you might have responded the wrong way and you need to talk to your kids. Okay, that wasn't a biblical way to respond, and this is a biblical way I should have responded. And talk with your children about these things. Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Fathers, we have a great responsibility in our house. It's Father's Day, and you know, what sort of responsibility as the head of the house, Christ being the head, but we being given that responsibility, that authority to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Have we sought the Lord in how we might raise our children? For those that don't have children, have you been praying that the Lord would help you when you do have children? We need to be like Manoah. Who knows who Manoah is? Nobody knows who Manoah is? Do you read your Bible? Okay, who knows Samson? Okay, every hand should go up. Okay, well, Manoah is Samson's dad. Manoah is Samson's dad. Okay, now Manoah, we need to be like Manoah. Okay, I'll read you Judges 13, verse 8. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. Actually, there's another verse that goes with that. Let me just find it. Sorry. I think it's verse 10. No, it's not verse 10. Verse 12, and Manoah said, Now let thy words come to pass, how we shall order the child, and how shall we do unto him. Okay, the thought is Manoah wanted to make sure that he was going to raise this child how the Lord wanted him to raise this child. And that's the condition that our hearts need to be seeking the Lord's way in raising our children, raising or teaching other people's children. What's the Lord think of this? Now, did Samson's parents make mistakes? Yes, they did, but they had the attitude, the desire to do what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Deuteronomy 6, 4 and 9 says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shalt be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and thou shalt be frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the house, at the posts of thy house, and on thy gates. Proverbs 22 says, Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it. In Ezekiel, we're told that we need to be teaching. The difference between profane and holy. One man we could probably look up to, other than Manoah, is Abraham. when the Lord wanted to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he said, should I hide this from Abraham? This thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely be a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, and the Lord, and that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken. So the tendency is from good soil, and as parents, we're there to cultivate that, and the Lord's given us that responsibility. Let us be those people that teach and train their children that the Lord has given us, so that it might be said of them the same as that what was said of Timothy, and from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Thou hast known them from a child. That brings the thought that the seed wasn't plucked. His heart was still tender. His heart was still soft. Paul said, continue thou in those things which thou hast learned from a child. One other thing that we can be doing is making sure that we're walking with the Lord ourselves, being filled with the Spirit. Be ye filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God. Surely if we're walking right with the Lord and we are filled with the Spirit, there's going to be an overflow to those around us, those in our house, those in the church. What sort of soil has your child got now? Have you been offensive? Have you brought an offense that's hardened the heart of your child? I look at the short life I've lived and think, how many people have I offended? Not just children, adults, older people that I have offended. Maybe when I was a young Christian, having so much zeal, saying something that they probably weren't prepared for. How many people have I offended? Am I doing what the Lord wants me to do with my children? Am I doing what needs to be done with other people's children? Being responsible, being examples, not being a stumbling block to other people's children. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, dear Lord, that you do work in lives, Lord, and you do plough. And Lord, you use people, Lord, and the Word of God in our lives, Lord, to bring about good soil in our hearts, Lord. We pray that you would help us to maintain that in our children's lives, Lord. Help us not lose them to the world. Help us, Lord, to be adding cares to their life, worries that are unnecessary. Lord, help us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.